The Indian energy giant Adani has announced it is ready to begin construction on the Carmichael Mine and Rail project in central Queensland. The company has released a statement saying that the project will be 100% self-financed and scaled back to a smaller open-cut coal operation than what was approved. The announcement has been met with a mixed response, which you'd expect given it is such a divisive issue. Professor John Quiggin is an economist from the University of Queensland, and Gavin Went is a resource analyst and founding director of Mine Life. Welcome to both of you.
Good evening. Pleasure to be with you.
Gavin, how significant is today's announcement?
Well, it is significant. I mean, it's been a long time coming and there have been a lot of false starts, but it's interesting. We're probably the option that the company had grappled with for a long time, given the headwinds that are out there in financial markets of recent times, which is to 100% fund the project itself, was something that had been talked about in the past and even suggested to the company. And, the company had tended to avoid going down that path or discussing, action in that regard. I guess it's an indicator that financial markets are tough, generally for resource companies, and they're particularly tough for companies trying to develop projects in the coal space at the present time.
Gavin, this was initially to begin on a small scale and to ramp up to a capacity of 27.5 million tonnes a year, less than half the size of the approved project. Doesn't that mean the economic boost won't be what was predicted either?
I think this project is symptomatic of the bull market that we had in commodities, and the thinking that was around probably around about 10 years ago. The market reality now is very, very different. We've seen with the heavyweights in the resource sector like BHP and Rio Tinto, we've seen a lot of consolidation in the sector. We've seen a lot of mine closures, particularly in the coal space. Margins in the industry have been tough. But generally what we've seen is companies reining in their capex, reining in their spending, and concentrating on core projects. And that's what the major miners have done. I think it's symptomatic of what we're seeing here, and that it is a very, very tough environment to be talking about developing large-scale mining projects. It's very difficult to source funding, and that's right across the board. So one way that companies are trying to get around that particular hurdle is to focus on smaller capex developments and then starting off and then sort of ramping up from there, sort of a modular style of operation. And this is essentially what Adani is doing here. They're reducing the initial capex and they're reducing the financial hurdles in terms of the mine start.
John, you're against the project. How do you feel about today's announcement?
Well, the first thing to remember is this is one of many announcements of construction starts. So pre-construction works were announced in September last year. In July, the son of the head of the group said funding will be happening for a scale-down project very soon. And now, clearly, the company's given up on securing any kind of external funding, which is a pretty clear assessment of what the market thinks of it, and has announced they're going to do it themselves on, again, a much smaller scale. So it remains to be seen whether they'll now start the project on a large scale or whether they'll sort of keep it ticking over in the hope, for example, that, as has happened in New South Wales, that they'll be bought out in some way, told to stop the project and compensated.
Gavin, environmental groups pressured banks in Australia and overseas not to lend money to the project. Now we know that this project will be 100% self-financed. How much of a setback is that failure to secure private sector finance?
Look, obviously, anything that reduces options as far as any company is concerned is important. But this is not unusual in the sense of companies self-funding projects. I mean, BHP and Rio Tinto are of a scale that they can self-fund their own projects depending on the capex requirements. So this isn't unusual. But of course, we have to bear in mind that given the scale of the project, the originally forecast scale of the project, it was a project that did require outside funding. So you could certainly argue that the pressure that had been applied from outside has certainly forced Adani's hand in terms of them having to go down the route of self-funding. But I would also make the point as well that it is a very difficult market for most companies with projects to secure funding. A lot of this can be traced back to uncertainty in the current market conditions related to Trump and tariffs and trade negotiations or trade standoff with China. It's very much a risk-off market. So companies right across the board are having to sit down and rethink how they finance projects.
John, what's your response to the fact that this project was essentially 100% self-financed now?
Well, of course, the observation that the company could afford to self-finance has been around for some time. But what we've seen very clearly is until very recently, the company was holding out the idea that somebody would be willing to finance it. It's clearly not an economically sound project, even without any kind of carbon price in place. So the obvious question is whether, as that government, whether a company is going to put in large amounts of money up front, or whether it's going to, as it did with the previous pre-construction project, dribble out very small sums and just keep the project alive.
Gavin, what about the impact the mine's construction and the burning of coal at the mine will have on the environment in the Galilee Basin?
Well, it's obviously a consideration with all thermal coal projects. I'm not an environmental expert, and there are people that are much better qualified to comment than I. But, you know, having said that, it's interesting some of the comments that have been coming out of the International Energy Agency, and I'm not necessarily talking about this from a pro or a negative stance, but certainly the expectation or the forecasts are that coal consumption is going to grow within the coal Asian region in particular. So there is certainly demand out there for coal. As much as we talk about the pros and cons and the environmental aspects, certainly there is a base case demand out there, and that will change over time. But certainly as far as the International Energy Agency is concerned over the next couple of decades, there is certainly still very much a robust case to be made in terms of coal demands. Obviously, the big factor amongst all of that will be pressure on governments and that sort of thing. The best guesses, as far as that I can see, are that it is a slow and steady process of change.
John, the mining project is yet to finalise state and federal environmental management plans, but Adani says it will meet the same standards and operate under the same regulations as other Queensland miners. Is that a fair point, that it will have to meet environmental standards?
Well, there's really two issues. One is the environmental damage caused by the mine, which is a very, very large area, of course. But the real issue is obviously carbon emissions, and that's not covered directly by those kinds of controls. So should the proposal come seriously, we have to consider the question whether we're going to continue on a project which clearly will lead to global disaster or not. And, of course, right now in Queensland, we're experiencing the consequences of climate change, unprecedented record temperatures, catastrophic fires and so forth. The question which, if this project goes ahead, we'll have to face sharply is precisely whether, in the interests of really short-term economic gains, whether we're prepared to incur this kind of damage to the country and to the world as a whole over the next century.
But John, Adani says it has the support of the people in Rockhampton, in Townsville, in Mackay, in Bowen, lots of those regions. They want the jobs and the economic boost promised by the project. What do you say to that? Because, I mean, that is a very compelling case.
This issue was fought out on a smaller scale of the state election, of course, when the issue was whether to provide public support for it. The expectation of Adani and supporters was that the government, which refused to support the NOAF loan, would lose a bunch of seats there. In fact, the government held nearly all its seats in that area and gained seats in South East Queensland. So the claim that this project has universal support isn't really borne out, at least by the Perth government.
Gavin, John Quiggin is not the only one to have warned that the long-term future of coal is bleak. What are the long-term prospects for the Carmichael Mine and Rail Project? Is it economically sustainable?
Well, the difficulty with projects like this is we're not necessarily privy to the fundamental economics as to how they will operate, as we would with, say, a company that's listed on a stock exchange, say, for example, the ASX, where feasibility study numbers and all of that sort of thing are disclosed. You know, we are told that this particular project, from an economic point of view, is in the lowest quartile, the lowest 25% of, or will be once it's operational, assuming that it is, within the lowest 25% of operating thermal coal mines in the world. So from that basis, one could deduce that it's economic. Certainly my concern has always been all along that given the original CapEx numbers that were talked about, that from a longer term perspective, it was going to be very, very difficult to justify the business case.
Just finally, and I'll start with you, John, what does this mean for the future of Australia's coal industry? Today's pretty significant decision.
Oh, well, certainly it means that we're going to come to crunch politically fairly soon on the question of whether we're going to bet our future on a continuation of expanding coal, or whether we're going to make a decision that we're going to back the only course of action which can prevent catastrophic environmental damage. Clearly, in particular, the Labor Party's race basically been trying, with some success, to duck the issue, to hope that the lousy economics of the project will kill it without them having to make an explicit decision. They may be forced that choice fairly soon.
John, same question to you. What do you think it reveals about the future of Australia's coal industry?
Well, it's a very interesting point that was just made. And I think, look, when we look at the politics of it, it's obvious that, you know, the federal government have come out today. Matt Canavan, the federal resources minister, has come out and, as you'd expect, made all the appropriate comments about supporting the mine and saying that it's a great thing that it's going ahead. And at the same time, calling out both the federal opposition leader, Bill Shorten, and the Labor government up there in Queensland for basically sitting on the fence in terms of their relative commitment or non-commitment to the mine, and sort of making some comments in certain circumstances and certain contexts, and then other comments in other contexts, so depending on the audience. So, you know, it's going to make life very, very interesting in the lead up to the next federal election, and I think a lot of people will be focusing on the comments that Anna and Bill Shorten make in the lead up to the election with respect to the Adani project.
I want to thank both of you. It's been a really interesting conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Professor John Quiggin is an economist from the University of Queensland, and Gavin Wendt is a resource analyst and founding director of MineLife. And this is RN Drive.